Hi, my name is Dr. Patricia Murugami. Welcome to your next best self. I know you might be wondering, who's this Dr. Patricia Murugami? Well, I'm a leadership catalyst, a leadership coach, an educator on matters to do with life, leadership, love, and legacy. And I hope that as you start to listen in and practice some of the leadership insights we'll be sharing here, you'll begin to see your next best self. Welcome back to your next best self podcast with me, Dr. Patricia Murugami. I want to thank you all so much for the gift of feedback on the last couple of episodes on boundaries. In fact, the last one on leadership had so much feedback from each of you in multiple ways, either it's through LinkedIn, through our website, drpatriciamurugami.com. And I was particularly fascinated, and I appreciate those of you who told me the actions that you took away from listening to this podcast on boundaries. And so I want to say thank you because, you know, I believe that breakfast of champions, the dinner of champions, the lunch of champions is feedback. If you shy away from feedback, you will never grow. And in fact, that introduces me to today's podcast because guess what? The boundaries series is not yet done. Today, I want us to talk about professional boundaries. And some of you may call it team boundaries. Some of you may call it employee boundaries. But whatever the case, they're about being a professional. And I'm reminded of many years ago when one of my bosses, and I was very, very young in the employment space. And I remember he told me, you've got to always ask yourself every morning, which call are you going to answer to? The call of being an amateur or the call of being a professional? And I thought to myself, I'm so green in this employment space. I'm still learning. I must be an amateur. And I asked him, so what do you mean? And he said, an amateur never learns from his mistakes, never learns from her experiences, is always whining, lamenting, never has a spirit of service, is just doing to tick a box, doing that job to tick a box. While a professional may feel like the amateur, may not feel like working, but never gives in to their whims, their moods, and always gets to that piece of work with a spirit of service and a spirit of excellence. And you can be sure that one of the lessons I took away from that conversation is every morning to answer the call to be a professional, whatever honest work you're doing, whether it's in the home or outside the home. But today I want to talk about those of us, and many of you are working outside of the home, earning a salary, and chances are you're always thinking about how can you improve your work or what's the next thing you can do better. But today I want to talk about professional boundaries because many of us are holding our leaders to the leadership boundaries I talked about. But I want to share a couple of things that I have found professionals sometimes take for granted. The first one, your boss is not your pal. Okay? No matter how good she is, how understanding she is, how kind she is, how many chances she gives you, how many opportunities for growth he gives you, your boss is not your pal. And I think a lot of people get their lines crossed, especially if you have a great boss who forgives, who gives you opportunities to grow, who allows you to express your mind and your thoughts. You cross the line. Stop it. Stop it. Because when you cross the line and you don't realize that this person has authority over you, and at that point in time, they have a divine assignment to lead you, whether you like it or not, but to lead you for a current or the season that you're in. And so don't get your lines crossed. Remember that even if she or he is such a great boss, allows you to explain your personal spaces, your personal issues and challenges, allows you, do not get your lines crossed. And how do you do that? Remember that they expect you to come to work and to deliver like a professional. I'm always surprised when I look around and I see people taking for their bosses for granted because, as I said earlier, they've given them so many chances and they make jokes and they have information by virtue of the work they're doing with their boss. And that is, I would say, confidential information. And then you make a joke of it. That cannot be. That cannot be. Yeah. And I have seen many examples of that. You know, someone is building a home, their boss is building a home, and they've asked you to maybe do something to just assist them with respect to a specific project piece. And it's not out of your work, but they want you to just very quickly do some quick research or get a telephone number. And they tell you, oh, you know, I need you to just check online for this number and send it to me. It's really not a big task, but it's something they need and you're saving them some time. And then later on, you bring it up in even in a team meeting. Hey, boss, remember the other day you asking me about that number of the architect? How is the house going? And your boss looks at you and wonders what has happened to, you know, the seal of the office, where there are certain things that you learn by virtue of being in an office and you have to be discreet. And I want to say the same thing applies to the client service situation, where if I am a supplier on providing a certain service to a client and I know certain things that are privy to the fact that I'm working with them, and when I know those things, I should be held by the seal of the office of ensuring that I keep them discreet. So your boss is not your pal. And in the future, if your boss does become your friend, that's a different context. But right now, your performance is measured by your boss. Do not take it for granted that they're giving you chances and that they keep on allowing you to express yourself freely. Do not cross that line. If you do, you regret it, because then things can become very messy. And ultimately, what happens is that that relationship actually goes downhill from there. The second point, make it unnecessary for your boss to remind you or to ask you to do certain things that you know are part and parcel of your job. If you're not sure and you're in a learning phase, that's fine. But if your boss has to remember what they need to do and then remind you what you need to do, I remember one boss who used to tell us, if I have to remind you what you need to do, one of us is not needed. Ouch! But it's true. And it was good that that boss spoke their mind early. It was a little hurtful, but it taught me the lesson. But if we are constantly being reminded by the people we report into to do certain things, then certainly we are not making their work easier. Neither are we owning our job the way we should. So make it unnecessary for your boss to ask or to remind you. That is maintaining a professional boundary and a standard of excellence. The third thing, keep your word. Your word is your bond. And I find professional boundaries are usually broken because people don't keep their word. I want to encourage you, when you say you're going to do something, better to under-promise and over-deliver. Better to say it's going to take me 2 hours longer or a bit of extra time and actually deliver sooner. And if you're providing a service, even better. And I know sometimes we don't keep our word in generally, for whatever reason. Make it a habit to keep your word. And in the event that you're not able to, apologize beforehand, that you can see there's a slight delay, you'd request for extra time, and then honor your word. Make your word your bond. Another professional boundary is never gossip about your colleagues or about your boss. Yeah, this idea of lunchtime pandemics of gossiping about workplace politics, who's doing what, who's not doing what, why this one did this, why, be above that. And I know some people literally make a living out of gossip mills. And unfortunately, in organizations where the culture is toxic, the gossip mill actually replaces the formal communication. So watch out. If you are actually in that space, it means that your organization requires an overhaul of their culture and the behavior that supports that negative culture. And so if you're struggling, maybe you have certain challenges with your peers, with your colleagues, with your boss, I encourage you, get a mentor, a coach, someone who's far removed from the organization, who can give you an objective assessment, who is discreet, who will treat what you tell them confidentially, and who's not afraid to tell you and point out the things that you may be doing to cause the situation to get to where it is. After all, no matter how thin you cut it, you will always have two sides to every story. So I want to encourage you, rather than gossip, go to these people who you know are trustworthy, one or two people, depending on your situation, talk to them about the situation and leave there, not only relieved, but with an action plan of how you can raise your standard, your professional boundaries, but at the same time, ensure that you deliver and you sort out the issue that is at hand. So, professional boundaries. When you have to visit your colleague, your boss, for whatever reason, maybe there's a function, maybe the person has some blessings, you know, has had a baby, is getting married, or whatever it is that could cause us to visit our colleagues. I want you to always remember the professional line, okay? The fact that they've opened their home to you means that they honor you. Don't dishonor them by your behavior. I remember one time we visited a boss, and I think they had a baby, and one of my colleagues there walked in and said, "Hey, we can see how comes you, hey, where you spend your money, hey, this house." Goodness, I was so mortified. I thought to myself, wow, how did that person get to be so callous and careless with their words? And I remember showing them by an eye that I learned from my family when you're told you should not be saying those things. But they were just insensitive and didn't realize it. So you see, you start burning bridges by that careless kind of talk. Another professional boundary I want to maintain and talk about is boundaries when you travel as employees, as colleagues, with your boss, with your colleagues, sometimes even with clients. You know, this idea that when we go somewhere, whatever happens there remains there. No, be the same person here and there. I remember one time when we were invited to attend an event by a client, and it was a cocktail event. And I guess that one of the people in that team, because there were several teams, our team and their teams and other suppliers, had never seen so much alcohol on display, free for everyone to drink. And they drank, and they drank. And some colleagues told them, stop. And they got drunk, which in itself is a lack of temperance, because you have lacking self-control, because you're thinking, this beer is here, this alcohol is here, it must be drunk, this food has to be eaten until my stomach pops. No! But do you know, they started shouting and saying insulting things to the client, and they were specific suppliers of that client. Because of lack of boundaries by that team member, that company lost the contract. A lack of boundaries. So it is so important that you remember what you're doing, where you are. This is not your house party. And even in your house party, I hope we practice some self-control. You're at the clients. You're there on the invitation to honor them by your behavior. Which leads me to the last thing, which I talk about in my book, Rise, my first book. There's a whole chapter on dress how you want to be addressed. I think one professional boundary that many of us sometimes get blurred is dress down Fridays, or when we travel with teams and we dress so down that it's actually, you're forgetting whether are you here on holiday or are you here to work? And I want to remind us that especially when you know the kind of professional you want to be, hold your standard high up. Keep decent, keep professional for as long as you are working. Whether you have traveled somewhere out there and you have to be with your clients, you know, during the day and possibly meet them over dinner, please make sure you select your clothes in such a way that they represent the brand. The brand that you want to uphold as your personal and professional brand. Don't be so casual that because you've been sent to Mombasa, that's the time to wear your all those beach clothes that in a sense are not professional. And I know there's a lot of debate around these things, but this is my opinion and I'm encouraged to share it because too many people have come back to me and told me, if only I had heard it from someone, I wouldn't have lost that job. I'm reminded of a girl who one time came back to me and said, you know what? I was very foolish. When you first corrected me about the fact that I was wearing too short a skirt, I remember insulting you, and she had insulted me. But I looked at her and I thought, this girl could be my daughter. And I didn't take it personally. Everyone else was gossiping about her. And I felt it was my responsibility to guide her and tell her, when you come to work dressed like that, it appears to me as if you're on your way to a party and you're stopping over at work. So perhaps you want to consider increasing the length of that skirt by a couple of inches so that you come across as a professional. I know you are. Right now, you're confusing us. You're giving us all mixed signals. And that's not helping your personal brand. I don't want to tell you what she told me. But a couple of months later, Unfortunately, she actually, her contract was not renewed. And she came back to me after staying out for a number of months and called me and said, I just want to meet you. And I said, no problem, pass by the office. I'm happy to have a quick conversation. And she told me, you know, Dr. Murugami, I'm so sorry. I was so arrogant and so foolish and so stupid that I should have listened to you when everyone else and all my friends were telling me how archaic that piece of feedback was, how you must have been feeling this, that, the other. I should have taken the time to ask myself, what will Dr. Murugami gain by me dressing better? Nothing. She must be looking out for me. And she told me the unfortunate thing is, now she's telling me, her mother never told her that you don't dress like that. She would leave the house like that and no one would bat an eyelid. And she said, you know, I am good at what I do, but I realize that the way I dress is masking the professional boundaries that I should have been upholding. And she said, could you mentor me and just help me recalibrate my steps and begin again? And I said, but of course, because I hope that you will take these insights and wisdom I will share with you. But more than anything, remember, it's coming from a place where I wish you the ability and the very best, the ability to become your next best self. So she continued meeting with me. She'd come with a notebook. I'll talk about mentorship boundaries in the future. And she would write down the things we agreed on and she practiced them. And I'm so proud of how far she's come. I don't want to say where she is now because you might be able to trace it back, but I'm so proud of who she's become. She's now married with children. And, you know, we have a great laugh and she says, I can't believe how silly I was. And she's running an amazing enterprise somewhere in the world. So I really honor her for being humble enough to have come back. But how about you who is listening to this podcast? Are there spaces that I would like you to audit and edit that you're not living your professional boundaries? Remember that a professional is someone who keeps their word, shows up no matter how they are feeling, and ensures they deliver with a spirit of service, a spirit of excellence. And let me just add, and with a smile. Because if you're not really happy when you're doing that work, when are you going to be happy? Even if you don't feel like smiling, you start smiling. And as they say, smile at the world and the world will smile right back. I want to wish you the very, very best as you raise your professional boundaries. And remember that when you choose to maintain a standard, maintain it even when you don't feel like it. You will be happy for having maintained it. But even better, your work will introduce itself even before you get into the room. I wish you the very best in becoming your next best self. I look forward to your feedback. Take good care of yourself and raise your professional boundary. Thank you.